they stay there, and they say yeah, and they say there.
Going in on the verse, cause I never been defeated and I won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it, my folks locked down. Whoa. I never went nowhere, but they saying Luda's back. Yeah. Blame it on that contour, the hood call it Luda Yak. Hey. And I'm on this foolish track, so I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down, down. Like strippers' booties go. Whoa. My verses still be serving, yeah. Tight like a million virgins. Yeah. Last time on a college remix, now I'm on the original version. Yeah. Can't never count me out, no. Y'all better count me in. No. Got 20 bank accounts. Accountants count me in, make millions every year, but South champion. Cause all I do
is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Head on a swivel, you know serving me's a no-no. Clean as a whistle as I pull out in my Rolls Royce. Yellow phone passenger, they see it, they say, oh boy. Shell Kelly, back it up, my niggas call me loco. Down for armed trafficking, don't make me pull that fofo. Ask you what you laughing at, represent that mud life. Dirty money, bitch, you better get your mud right. We come together, holding hands and holler, mud life. We all strapping all black, it's like mud life.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Kitchen, pot on the stove, water getting boiled, dope being sold, Snoopy in the hookie system.
I can't hide myself, I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home.
Being a man is what you make it. You can't always live up to expectations. You try to please everybody while you struggle, so you fake it and end up out of balance, compromising situations. As a good man, do what he should, man. I'll give everything he has and do everything he could, man. You might find yourself feeling all alone inside a house you built that you don't recognize as home. And that's what my daddy told me, and I'll tell my son the same. Now that I'm older, I relate and I actually feel his pain. He never cried, he might have lied, but he did not complain. And he said, son, one day you'll have to do the same. I get emotional when I stop and think and I look around. Beyond the county lines of my small town, I think about all the men out there who feel like I do now, who are screaming on the inside but won't ever make
a sound. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home. Don't give up, keep fighting. As a man, our sun is our horizon, and our father's actions play a role, and we end up like them. So they can't let us see them hurt, cause we'll embody what they do and start a generational curse. No wonder most men are so depressed, all the things that they can't express. They go to war, get thrown on the shelf, and go back to war with their mental health. Then grab that bottle and ask for help, try to pull themselves out of hell. Then fall back down and then realize that they gon' have to do it themselves. It's the circle of life. As a man, you provide. They don't
I guess I missed my calling, 'cause I should have been a clown. Me in the back, yes you do, baby. Every time I turn around, criticize my love, but won't you try? Yes, try to understand. You're flowing water, I got to tell you about it. On a drowning man.
Loving you, only for each time. Girl, what am I gonna it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you.
All right. Hey, what's going on out there? Welcome to Voices Unleashed with Mr. Talk. That's right, y'all. Mr. Talk is back. That's right. I'm back and ready to rock and roll. Yeah, it's been a minute, I tell you. How y'all doing out there? Hope everybody is doing well on this Saturday afternoon. All right, man, we got some old for you. And we got a little new for you. And, yeah, we gonna get this on here. But we're having a little technical difficulties at the moment, so we're working our way through them. So bear with me a little bit, okay? Now, before I go ahead and move on to the next thing, let me tell you how you can just join me. If you want to talk to me personally on the air, only thing I do is call 347-838-8622. You can also email me at ericletts, L-E-T-S, talk at gmail.com. And don't forget our chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Okay, so those are all the ways you can talk to me today. Be a part of the show, which I highly encourage because I want to hear what your opinions are on the topics that we're discussing today. Yeah. Because there's some interesting things going on, and I've sat back the whole time I've been off. Not like I haven't been paying attention to the situations and the circumstances that have been happening across the nation and across the world. And yeah, it took a lot for me not to come on the air and talk about it with y'all. But you know, sometimes you just have to step away from things to get your brain straight. You understand? So with that being said, that's why I stepped away for a little bit, had to get my mind, my mental correct, as the young people say, had to get my mental correct, okay? Because doing this, man, will wear on you, and next thing you know, you're down the rabbit hole. The rabbit hole is not a good place to be, people. Let me tell you, it's not a very good place to be, but I found my way out, so I'm back. Yeah. So, with all that being said, I think we're just about ready here. We have, we got something going on here with my sound, and it's not right yet. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. And, yeah, we're going to work on that here for a minute. And when we come back, we're going to get started. We're going to start talking about something that's been going on for a while, man, I tell you. And I still do not understand the problem with it. And we're talking about the Black National Anthem or the song Lift Every Voice and Sing. But we'll get back to that here in a few minutes, okay? Let me fix this last issue with the sound, and then we'll be back to get it started. I hope y'all ready, because I truly am. You know, electronics or something else, man. All right, I'll be right back.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, and what do you see? You see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me, don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me, don't put the blame on me. I'm only human, do what I can, I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me, don't put your blame on me.
Feel like it's all that I need. something inside of me's broken. I hold on to anything that sets me free. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my dreams.
What if the night sky was missing the moon? There were no shooting stars to use wishing on you. And all of my sorrow, I just washed them down. It's the only peace I've ever found.
All of this drinking and smoking is hopeless, but feel like it's all that I need. Something inside of me's broken. I hold on to anything that sets me free.
Sounds better. That sounds a whole lot better. Hope y'all can hear me now. I can hear me, so we're good to go. All right. Once again, welcome back to Voices Unleashed. Yeah, I'm still Mr. Talk, though. That's right. I always got music on standby. Yeah. So, you know, after you've been gone a long ways, you have to figure out these new fangled thing ways they have the studio and things like that. But I got it now. I got it now. So, we have to work on our equipment right, but we're here now. Okay. Once again, if you want to talk to me, 347-838-8622 is the number. Chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. We can have a conversation in there if you want to. And for those that's on my Facebook page, what have you, if you want to hit me up there, you can, regarding whatever we're talking about here on the show. And I'll be more than happy to respond to you, okay? So with all that being said, let's get down and unleash some of this nonsense that's been going on. Last Sunday, Super Bowl. Yeah, let's talk about the Super Bowl for a hot minute. Okay, the Super Bowl was okay. You know, it got interesting in the end. It did, but the outcome was the outcome, right? No problem. Everybody was happy. You know, everybody partied at, you know, the halftime show with Usher and Lil Jon and Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri and all these other people that were part of the show. Okay, it was okay. I'm not going to say it was, you know, all that, but it was okay. It was okay. It was entertaining, especially at the end, you know, when they brought out the real songs. Okay? You have to remember, they only got 13 minutes now. 13 minutes to do their whole catalog. So that's kind of hard. But it was okay. But the interesting part of the game was the beginning of the beginning before the kickoff, you know. And for the last few years, the NFL has, and not just the NFL, a couple of other major sports organizations have gone to having Lift Every Voice and Sing sung before the national anthem. And that's where the problem comes in, because individuals out there lose their mind. I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it. They lose their mind. They really do. Just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And what is the main argument? There's only one national anthem. We're all one people. Once again, it's amazing how that comes up when these individuals want that part to be real. When, let's be honest, we all know it's not real. We are not one people. We're not. We classify ourselves as that because that is what the establishment wants us to do and tells us we have to do. But let's be honest, we aren't one people. Haven't been that way for a long time. A long time. But I digress. I'm not going to get into that. Let's talk about this Lift Every Voice and Sing. Okay. Now, for those that weren't aware of it, it was around, you know, it was around. I'm not going to say it was around, but it was the national anthem before, for black people, before the Star Spangled Banner became the official national anthem for the United States of America. Okay? Those are facts. Declared that by the NAACP. Okay? Let's just go on and put that out there. In 1900, somewhere around that time. Well, I know the Star Spangled Banner didn't become the official national anthem until the 1930s. Okay? So there's that point. Yeah, there's that point in itself. Now, before the Star Spangled Banner, there was a song that was used. Well, after God Save the Queen, yeah, we know where that came from. America the Beautiful. And I remember being in school singing that song all the time. That's what they, you know, for spacious skies, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. If I heard the song, I probably remember the words, but right off straight top of my head right now, no, I don't remember the words. Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. Yeah, that's it right there. That song right there, that was being used for all "quote unquote" official ceremonies before the Star Spangled Banner became the national anthem. However, black Americans back in that time was using "Lift Every Voice and Sing" because it promoted positivity, unity, survivability, and that was the purpose of the song for black Americans or African slaves or Africans that, you know, that were here in the country. Period. So why do you have a problem with that? If you don't understand it, sometimes, like y'all Google everything else, you need to Google and find out what's the history behind it. Some of y'all do tickle me though. Y'all really do, because you don't want to take time to find out about anything. You rather complain about it. You know, you just rather complain about it. Find something wrong with it because it's not in your circle. It's not in your bubble. Well, get over it, because it's not. And why wouldn't they have a song like that in a league that's over 60% African American or black, or for some of you old folk, colored? I mean, why wouldn't they? But It's understandable
because it goes back to the attack.
Oh, yeah, see, I'm going to tell y'all, I told y'all I've been paying attention. It goes back to the Colin Kaepernick thing where he took a knee and everybody lost their mind about that. Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, and the latest big boo-boo word that is used throughout the political world, wokeness. That's all it is. That's all it is. And, of course, when you start talking about woke, there's a big difference between what the politicians say is woke and what the hood says woke, okay? I'm going to say the hood because, yeah. But it's not nothing that's unusual because for years and decades and, you know, they've been taking words that mean one thing to a group of people and redefining it and make it something totally different because it fits their narrative. It doesn't fit, you know, they can care less of anybody else. That's the real meaning. But as long as they can repeat it, it becomes the norm. And that is what's going on. And I said all that to say this. Stop losing your mind when you hear the song. If you don't want to hear it, go somewhere else. Simple. Turn down the volume. Go get a snack. Do something. But stop being dumb and complaining about something you have no idea the sincerity, the cultural importance of. You don't like it because you haven't heard it before or you're not used to it being done. Well, to put it mildly, that's your problem, not anybody else's. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I know y'all don't like that, but it's a fact. It is. It's bona fide facts right there in your face. Like I said, you don't have to like it. You don't. Now, before I move on to the next thing, let me tell you about it. Okay, Lift Every Voice to Sing is a poem that was written by James Weldon Johnson in 1900, okay, and was later put to music by his brother, J. Rosamond Johnson, all right? And the purpose of the song is the struggle for civil rights and its role as a symbol and resilience and unity, okay? And it was used in civil rights protests to celebrations of African-American culture. That's why it's important. And that's, hey, it's a part of the inclusion of everyone. Yeah, that's the thing. You want it to be everyone until it hurts your feelings, and then it's no longer everyone. Yeah, just stupid. But anyway, that's Lift Every Voice to Sing. So next time some of you hear that song played at a basketball game, the All-Star game is coming up, they may play it before then. And a lot of times the networks don't even show it. And maybe that is the other problem as well, is words don't show that part of the pregame. So a lot of y'all don't understand that. It happens all the time. Or if you go to an HBCU game event, historically black college, for those that don't know what that means, and universities, they play, that's the song they play also. So instead of being so closed-minded about it, open your brains up a little bit, all right? Yes, sir, I am back. Yes, I am. Glad to see you. So I'm just saying, okay, open your minds up about that. All right. Stop being so dang on hateful. Yes. Some of y'all are very, very, very hateful. Okay. So, all right. So that covers the Black National Anthem. All right. I would sing it for you, but I'm sure some of y'all probably, you know, I know who it is.
I know exactly who it is. I remember the name. Yes, sir, Mr. N2K. K today, but okay. Yes, I recognize the name. Trust me, I do. Okay, so with that being said, we're done with that part of it. Okay, what else I want to talk about? That's real quick here before we get into the meat of what I want to talk about. Houston, down in Houston, there's a kid that's been suspended and in school suspension since August, man, because of his hair. And it violates a new law Texas has passed. And basically, they're saying his hair violates the dress code. Now, if you look on the slideshow, you will see his hair. And this school district, which is a little bit outside of Houston, actually, is very, the lack of a better word, very strict about some things, okay? Yeah, they're very strict about some things. And they say they won't let him come back to school until, you know, either he cut it or, which will happen on the 22nd of this month, a court rules, you know, on the exactly what's going on. Okay, so with that being said, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen with that, because it's going to be important. But the interesting thing about it, this is not the first time this school district has gone through this type of thing. There was another young man a couple of years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, that went through the same thing with the school district, and basically they just went to another school. Which is fine. I mean, that was their choice. Instead of continue to fight, and this kid, you know, this child, you know, not get his education, what they call an education. But anyway, yeah. But this family here is like, no, we're gonna fight this. We're gonna fight this, you know. But the superintendent came out and made an interesting statement in defending his dress code. What's the man's name? Is Greg Poole of the Barbers Hill Independent School District, and he's the superintendent. You know, he put a full page ad in the newspaper explaining his stance and support for this kid being suspended. Okay, that's what he did. But here's the interesting thing that that was said that is very, very, that I found very interesting. And it goes back to, this right here basically covers, going to cover everything we talk about today, how most Americans think and feel. Being an American requires conformity with the positive benefit of unity. So in other words, you know, everybody has to look the same. Everybody has to act the same. Everybody has to follow the same rules. Everybody has to just be the same. Conform. There is no individual cultural differences. Everybody is the same, which is not. So they are not. So, this kid has been going through this since the school year has started, and the 22nd of February, a judge will hear the case and rule on whether or not this is constitutional by the school board, and does it actually violate the new Texas Crown Act law, which says discrimination against hair and, you know, culture, the wearing your hair and stuff is you know, not good, wrong. So we're going to see. This has been simmering a while, and yes, he's still in suspension. You know, this has been going on since August now, and the rhetoric kind of done calmed down. And why has it calmed down? Because you got this nonsense going on in Miami. I mean, Atlanta. Y'all like the way I brought that in, huh? Yeah. It brought that, you know, they got that nonsense going on down in Atlanta with Fonnie Willis. Now, I had really hadn't considered talking about Fonnie Willis and this mess down in Georgia, But I can't. The more I sit here and think about it, now that I'm back on the air, I'm beginning to flow a little bit. I have to talk about it. I really do. And here's why I have to talk about it. Everyone is, on all these great social media outlets and platforms. Everyone is sitting there talking about, well, Fannie Willis, man, she really did this, and she really told them this, and blah, 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 blah. And then you got the other side, well, the prosecutor really got them, and she's going to get fired, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting back, and I'm paying attention, and I'm looking at the testimony. I'm looking at these different clips. You know, everybody decides they want to take their specific clip to prove their point. I'm like, okay. I understand that. That's what we do. There's been instances I have done the same thing on this show. So I understand that. And of course, you have the big news medias with their, former attorneys and, DAs and political law experts. And they're all, giving their two cents about whether she's going to survive this and whether her family going to survive it, and yeah, all that. But then it hit me. It really did hit me, because I had to go back and think some time back. And I've said this a long time ago on the show. I guess it was around 2015 or so on the show. I've said this. And what people are failing to realize is this hearing right here, it's not really about Willis losing her job. I don't know why I call it Lee Lewis. Willis losing her job. Now, if that happens, that's a bonus. Okay, it is a bonus if that happens. Okay, it's a bonus. What this is about is destroying her credibility, destroying her character. That's what this is about. What a lot of people do not understand, when it comes to dealing with individuals, with money, with power, this is what I'm about to tell you. Okay? There is a system that they use. It is. First, it's going to come the threats to your family, the threats to you. If you don't back off, I'm going to do this. If you don't back off, we're going to do this to your family. If you don't back off, we're going to tell this. Okay. All right. And what comes with that, bribery, we give you so much money if you just stop and forget about it, blah, 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 blah. Y'all know the routine, right? Some of y'all don't, but I'm telling you now. Okay. So. That's step one. And it sounds easy and quick, but it's not. It's a progressive, tenuous process that they employ, that the rich employ, rich and powerful employ. Okay? They go after your bank accounts. They go after your family. They go after anything they may perceive to be a weakness. That's just step one. Step two is where we are now. Okay, that step one didn't work. Some people say, okay, it's time for plan B. No, it's just step two. The second step, let's completely destroy your credibility. Let's destroy your name. Let's destroy everything we can that you have worked for. Okay, now let's talk about that. Fannie Willis is known to be a bulldog in the courtroom. Okay, and she's just, if you watched any of her testimony, you can see she's not going back down. She's not backing down. So let's get her and anybody that we may proceed to be close to her that she's done anything with, put them on the stand and try and destroy their character. Make them unbelievable. And then there's another backdoor to this thing as well. It sets up a stage if Trump should happen to lose this case in Georgia and Willis happens to be, you know, taking off this case, that's grounds for an appeal. See, a lot of people think checkers when the rich and powerful are thinking chess. See, and that's what we have going on. Of course, the media is going to jump on everything, little word that's being said. And, of course, they're going to highlight this and, like I said, have their experts out there. And then what's going to happen? The public is going to do the same thing. Here they go. Pow. You know, yeah, I think this. Pow. She da 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 da. But you're missing the big picture. You're missing the big picture. Because you're caught up in the peripheral view of the nonsense. The eye candy. I guess that's what I call it, the eye candy of the nonsense. Now, believe you me, if this doesn't work and somehow she survives this grilling and this intrusion into her life, that third step is not a nice one, y'all. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that third step is not nice. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is here, but you can believe there's going to be some crying and singing going on. That's all I'm saying. You can figure it out from there, right? Yeah. But that's all this is about. That's all it's about. Regardless of what happens, this case, the RICO case against him and his cohorts is going to happen. They're just going to get somebody else. Hopefully not as bulldoggers and not as strong-willed as her. Now, was it a dumb thing? Yes, that they did. Yes. You know, and what the guy named Wade, the attorney Wade, for him to be an attorney, yeah. He got kind of chewed up in his testimony. He really did. Now, I'm sitting listening, and I'm like, you're an attorney, and you haven't realized that she asking you the same question over and over again, adding a little piece here and there just to make it sound different, to get you to answer differently to a question she's already asked you? If you will go back and listen and just pay attention, you'll see it's the same questions over again, just different ways. And you can believe me, when they ask certain questions, 9 times out of 10, the attorney already know the answer to it. They already know the answer. Every now and then you catch them, you know, that's why Fannie Willis went in there swinging. She already knew. She knows what the game is. She's probably played it a couple of times herself, so she knows what the game is. But her former boyfriend or whatever he is, that is just, whew. Yeah. Okay, so they, you know, once he got his voice, they slept together, whatever. Who cares? I mean, they went on cruises together, so it happens. He paid for her stuff with a credit card. Okay. She paid him back in cash. Okay, I've done that before with people. This is not a big, there's nothing, that's not nothing illegal. But in the people out with all the media coverage and things going on, oh, yeah, there's some people out there going, yeah, she crooked and blah, 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 blah. Okay. To mention, if everybody's watching, if they should happen to have to pull another jury, it's not going to be nice because the jury pool is already tainted, which means if that jury pool is tainted enough, they would have to move the proceedings to somewhere else. Uh-oh. Maybe a more favorable Republican community. I'm just putting options out there. I don't know this for sure. I'm just going by what I have seen over time. Isn't time? Yeah, over time. I'm just saying. And that is the gist of it. That is the gist of it. You know, we call up in there, and it also helps delay the trial, the actual trial that's supposed to be going on, which gives former president more time to campaign or fight whatever he got going on in New York, because New York is not playing with him, okay? But here's another important point, though. Not only is this old strategy they're using, but if you go back to, 24, early 23, late 22, DeSantis down in Florida fired an African-American DA because she refused to use the death penalty in any of her cases, and he fired her. Remember, they went after Alvin Bragg in New York. They even tried to go after Letitia, in New York also. So don't think this is just a one-time incident. No, this is ploys that they use. But if you got that weak link around you, oh, they will find it. They will find it, and they're going to use it, exploit it to the fullest of their ability. Yeah. Now, what I still haven't figured out is how did all this come, besides the guy that was in custody making this accusation, how did he find out? See, how did he find out about all this? If only think about it. How did they find out about this? Her relationship with him. How did they find out? Did they dig that deep? Did they actually have detectives and people that find that out? Or was it somebody on the inside that just started the whole ball rolling? Think about the people you have around y'all. I'm just saying. Everybody that looks loyal, they're not. And when push comes to shove and money get to flying, oh, buddy, it's over. It's over for you. Of course, this is just Mr. Talk Talking. You know, I haven't been on in a while, so I'm slowly trying to get back in the groove. All right, and before I open up the phone lines, I got one more thing I want to talk about. Trump and this thing with Colorado and the Supreme Court. Okay, yeah, I have to talk about that. Because I listened to the briefings and everything, and I was listening. And if y'all don't know, Colorado said the former president cannot be on a ballot for the presidential election. And they said it's the state's right to decide that. Okay, so it got pushed off Supreme Court. And I'm surprised the Supreme Court chose to hear it, but after listening, it needed to get there. But here's the thing. If you listen to any of it, you can tell the Supreme Court didn't want any part of this thing. They didn't. Their ruling will means a whole lot, okay? I'm just going to keep it simple. It's an enormous decision they have to make, and they really do not want to do it. They don't want to. Court now. I mean, but let's think about all this. You got a former president that has been accused, and listen to what I'm saying, accused, because he has never been convicted of you know, leading an insurrection. He's been accused of it, okay? A lot of people that was there that day and a lot of his cronies have been convicted. But he himself has never been convicted. All right? That's a technicality, but a big technicality. But what if the Supreme Court comes back and says, yes, a state, any state, can keep a presidential candidate from running on the ballot? Can you just imagine the chaos that would ensue? That would mean every state that has a problem with Joe Biden or Trump or anybody else can say, hey, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Okay? We're taking them off. And what eventually happens is your front runners are gone. So then who you going to have? The third-party candidates? And who are the third-party candidates? Who else is running? Because we never put any onus on who else is running. We just go with the top two people that's flashing our faces 24/7. Can you see the chaos? And if that remains the law, every political cycle, this can happen. This same thing can happen. So how do you keep that from happening? But and in the same breath, how do you keep someone that has been convicted, that has been accused, or has been a part of anything that goes against the quote-unquote Constitution, from running for office again? How do you do that? I personally do not envy the Supreme Court. I really don't on this one. But from the questioning, yeah, I really believe, and this is my opinion, that they're going to come back and say, Colorado, we understand, but no, you can't do that. They're not going to say Colorado was wrong, okay? Let me go on. They're not going to say that. But what they are going to say is, if we allow you to do it, allow this precedent, the following chaos will be a disaster. That's just it. That's the way I see it from listening and. Yeah, that's the way I see it. The Supreme Court really didn't want to have anything to do with this, with that decision, that case at all. But they have it now. Now, some say, well, you know, they can just kick it back down to the lower court where it came from. Well, that still creates the same issue. All lower courts can say the same thing, and then the states start doing it, right? So that means it really didn't solve anything, and you would have the ensuing chaos. Kind of would be fun. It would kind of be fun to watch unfold, but yeah, I'm not seeing that that's going to happen. I really don't. But that's just my opinion. Yeah, that's just my opinion. So that is some of the stuff I must talk about today. Yeah. And we're going to leave it right there for right now. Yeah. Because I got to get back in the swing of time. You know, time is flying by. So if you want to talk to me, come on. Give it to me. 347. 347-838-8622. That's the number. Hit the queue. I can see you, and I have you. I'll let you come in, and we can have a conversation. 347-838-8622. Okay? Yeah. But isn't it interesting? Wouldn't that be mess around and have Cornel West as the president of the United States of America? That would be interesting. Huh? What's her name? Nikki Haley? Yeah, that'll be interesting. But we already know, you know, what she's going to be about. Who else out there running third party? Anybody know?
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. But that's where we're standing right now. That's where we're standing on this thing right now. You know, and has anybody else wondered how is Trump going to pay all these fines and fees he's being told he has to pay with all these findings against him lately? That's a lot of money. I even saw, I think today when I was scrolling through, well, somebody done started a GoFundMe page. A GoFundMe page for it. What kind of nonsense is that? But we know there are those that's going to give them the money. I'm sorry. No. No. And you already have a record of not paying or not doing what you're supposed to do? No. You're not getting my money. Really? No. Anyway, so let me bring them. Let me bring N2K. Man, me and N2K haven't talked in a long time. Man, it's been a minute. Even before I took my hiatus, M2K, what's up, man? How you been? What's been going on with
you? How you doing? How you doing, Mr. Talk? It's good to hear you back on again.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, I had to take a step away for a minute to get out the rabbit hole, but I'm back now. I'm ready. So this is the first show, so I'm ready now. You know, it takes a while to get back in the groove, you know, after you've been gone for a minute.
Right. I understand that. Now, you put a lot out there in a whole different array of things. So what is it exactly that you want to talk about? Because you talked about
all of the above.
Politics. You talked about politics on the local level.
Yeah.
You talked about politics on a state level.
Yeah.
You talked about politics on a national level.
Yeah.
And then you talked about politics on a geopolitical level, which means it crosses borders internationally.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I'm just trying to understand the point of emphasis. Is it local? Is it on the state? Because I know you're in Texas. I'm in Georgia. The person that you mentioned, Fannie Willis, is actually originally from California, which is where I'm from originally.
Right.
She matriculated to Georgia, by way of Howard University and Emory University School of Law, which is here in Georgia.
Okay.
So that's her background.
Yeah. Okay.
So with that being said, are we talking about her? Are we talking about Trump? We're talking about the Crown Act.
The Crown Act, you know, that was passed in Texas, and I'd rather wait. I just wanted to put it out there, put it on your mind, because here coming this week, it'll be in court. So the hearing be held, and we have a more definitive answer and response as to what's the case with that. But let's talk about Fannie for a minute. Let's talk about Fannie. There was this political analyst that said in Atlanta, her quote-unquote affair with this guy was not a big secret. Is that true? Or is that just something just thrown out there?
Well, if he said it, then it must be true, because evidently he knows about it, and he's making the assumption that other people know about it. That's why he's saying, oh, it's not, oh, my God, how did she do this? What he's saying is,
right,
hey, this ain't no secret. We knew about this a long time ago.
Right.
So what are we really talking about? So basically what he's doing is he's being very dismissive about the fact that she had an affair, because it's public knowledge.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't public knowledge, then it would be used as a springboard to discredit her credibility.
Isn't that what they're trying to do right now?
No. If he was trying to do that, he wouldn't have took that angle.
Well, not him.
He wouldn't have took that angle.
Well, if, not the political analyst himself. I'm talking about as far as her being where she is now going through all this. Isn't that what's going on?
So let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Prior to her being in the position that she's in now, right?
Right.
This woman has been an attorney for years.
Right.
Did we hear about this prior?
I would say that's a no. Most of you didn't even know who she was. Outside
of Georgia. Here's my point. Attorneys just don't pop up.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You gotta get a 4-year degree. You gotta go to law school. Then once you go to law school, you gotta go in as basically you go in as an apprentice, a clerk. You do your years doing that. You move up the ladder. Okay. She's got her JD in law. That's the equivalent of a doctorate. This woman has been around a long time. What I'm saying when I say a long time, I'm talking about in the legal arena.
Right.
So while she's moving up the ladder and making moves and then becomes the DA in Atlanta or in Georgia or Atlanta, let me rephrase that. I remember the case where I first heard about her, which was with Young Thug, the rapper. And then she instituted this new legislation that she tried to get passed where if rappers were either gang-affiliated or were using gang-affiliated lyrics in their rap, there was no statute of limitations on it, and then she would charge them with the RICO Act.
Okay.
For the people who are listening, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence.
Right,
please understand what the RICO Act is. That was created in the 70s with the mafia because people wouldn't tell on anybody.
Right.
So they created a law where if you even knew anything about it, even though you didn't do anything, they could take you to jail.
Thus the Association. Yeah.
Right. So what they did was they started pulling up all these videos of Young Thug that dated back to 2000, I think it was like 2009, 2010, 2011, where he was not a gang member. He was gang affiliated, and then he was having these rap beefs, and they used that against him, even though when he came to prominence, he had no association with that whatsoever.
None.
So when he started making money and he was living in Buckhead, she introduced this legislation. Somehow it passed. They raided his mansion in Buckhead and arrested like 26 people.
Wow.
What's going to happen with that? With 26 people getting arrested,
yes.
Somebody's going to sing like a canary because they weigh down the food chain.
Right.
They don't have Young Thug's money, so they don't have his attorneys. So you're going to get somebody on the back end that's going to confess and be like, yeah, he really was involved in that back in 2011. Oh, he didn't really do nothing, but he was rolling with him. And, you know, all that stuff he was talking on the records back then when he was doing underground before he gained mainstream. Yeah, we was really doing that, even though he wasn't doing it.
Right.
That's all she wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And to this day, is Young Thug still in jail?
I think he is. Isn't he still in jail?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't ever remember reading him about him getting out.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And imagine his legal bills right now. Because when I first saw the story about Young Thug, I think that was in 22. It might have been 21. I think that was in 22. It's now 24.
Right.
See, when you get caught up with the law, it's like being in a taxi cab. It's just about 1,000 times more per mile. So the meter been running on that one.
Right. Oh, wow.
So even if he can get off, it's going to cost him so much money just to pay his legal fees. Now, here's the crux of the matter with this, Mr. Talk, which is what you were alluding to. When you have a person like this who's involved in the legal industry, because that's what it is. It's an industry.
Okay. I agree with you.
People kind of get it confused because we look at it in terms of, is it fair or is it not fair? It has nothing to do with being fair.
Nothing.
It's a money system.
Yes.
Okay? So it's like, and what she's doing, and what I realized when I first heard about this, and I never heard anything about her since until the other day on my YouTube algorithm, she popped up. Because I think she was in court the other day, and she was lambasted in some other attorney or I don't know what they was doing. They was getting down with it, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I see what she doing, springboarding this into a political career, because that's what lawyers do. A lot of people don't know this. When you talk about senators.
Uh-huh.
They all have law degrees.
Right.
Most people
are attorneys.
Have law degrees.
Right.
They have law degrees. This is how they get their start. So going back into the Wayback Machine, I took a class in college called Race and Public Policy.
Uh-huh.
Black people in this country have always been used to create policy. And here's where black people get it confused.
Uh-oh.
Something gets done to a black person, is involved in something.
Right.
Either way, they get victimized.
Mm-hmm.
Once the dust settles, guess what they do? They create a new law based on what happened.
Uh-huh.
And that's how things get moved forward for the general population. You remember we used to talk about Clarence Thomas and what was the female's name? She was an attorney under him.
Yeah.
What was her name?
What was that little girl name? Anita.
Anita. Yeah, that's her. You don't have to say her last name.
Yeah.
Remember when you did a show on that and we talked about that. Guess what resulted from those Senate hearing committees? New policies on sexual harassment in the workplace.
Workplace, right. Anita Hill, that's her name.
Anita Hill.
Yep.
That's an example of what I'm talking about when I say black people are used to create policy. See, we get caught up in the emotional part of it. Oh, that shouldn't have happened. Why they doing that man that way? Why they doing that woman that way? What they're really doing is they're creating something that's going to move forward for the whole citizenry of the United States, not just those black people.
Now, let's back up for a minute. So with this going on right here, what possible policy can come out of this? What I mean, that would actually benefit the normal Joe. What policy?
It's not going to benefit the normal Joe. What it's going to do is, I can tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
In the rap industry, right?
Right.
And what this is going to do is this is going to springboard from the rap industry to the music industry to the internet. When you start getting to talking about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and you're going to do something to somebody, even though you haven't physically done anything, we can press charges on you.
Okay.
Talk about it if you want to. Now, here's where I'm going with it. You see how on YouTube, in the entertainment industry, you got all these black folks making money that got beef with each other? You see how they beefing? And you see people threatening each other and cussing each other out? That's how this will come into play. It's not going to happen today, tomorrow, but they're going to use this legislation. It starts locally. It goes to the state. It goes to other states. Then it becomes national. Now, once it becomes national, it's like, oh, okay, you can get on YouTube and say what you want to say. Threaten somebody if you want to. We got the IP address.
Yeah, that's why I watch what I say. But N2K, when it comes to Fannie Willis possibly being disqualified from this RICO case against Trump and his individuals that's on trial with him, I'm still not seeing the connection where a policy can be established.
The policy is the ultimate goal. Now, what happens in between, that's residual stuff.
Okay.
So whether she's able to get put on, whether he's able to run again, because you know they told us once they got him up out of there that he wasn't going to be able to run again. Lo and behold, he's running again.
And now we're sitting
here talking about who all these people he owe money to. We already knew that from way back.
From way back. And we discussed that on the show quite often. Yeah.
And then people be like, oh, he needs to be impeached, this, that, this, and that. Well, guess what? He's not getting impeached. He's not going to jail. And here's the harsh reality. He's running for president again.
Again.
What does that tell you about your system?
Okay.
It's plain as day.
So when we see this little circus act
that goes on,
right?
You kind of have to overlook it. You have to brush it to the side because you have to look at it like, really, what's the end goal here? What's Fannie? She's on something. What is she on? What is she trying to do? And now she's become a public figure, not just a Georgia figure. Now she's starting to become a national figure.
That is a good point. I didn't even put that part to it. That is a very good point.
Now people are starting to notice her.
Right.
Now she's getting all this traction media-wise.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, why is that happening?
I'm with you. I'm with you now. I'm with you now. Okay.
See, when you see things work that way, that lets you know that no matter what they're saying about that particular person is actually moving in the right circles. So when they start gaining traction like that, and then all of a sudden we get hit with a news alert of all of a sudden – she's hooked up with so-and-so. And then people are like, damn, how the hell that happened? with all the dirt that she just did, how did that person sign her on?
Yeah.
But then that's the way it works.
Yeah, I get your direction now. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm on the same screen with you. But let's move from Fannie. You know, because I love talking to you because, you bring it. Let's go to the Supreme Court and this thing about the state, Colorado.
Okay.
Now, what do you think they would do? You think the Supreme Court is really going to say, yeah, a state can actually take a person off the political ballot, voting ballot, if, you know, they see fit that they don't qualify? Do you think that the Supreme Court is actually going to rule? Yeah.
No, that would completely kill the whole Constitution. Because the states uh-huh. can operate independently of each other, but they have to come under the umbrella of the federal government.
It is.
If that makes sense.
Oh, it makes a whole lot of sense.
So California and Colorado can say, oh, yeah, you can buy weed up to an ounce. Meanwhile, Idaho and Montana and Louisiana can say, man, if we catch you with half an ounce, you're looking at 1-5. What the Supreme Court does,
uh-huh.
it protects the state's rights
right.
to legislate that particular thing how uh-huh. they want to.
Exactly.
But when you're talking about the entire country as a whole, that's where the Supreme Court comes in. Because of the whole way that law works, and we're not talking about Admiralty maritime law, and I don't want to get into a whole bunch of technical stuff.
Yeah,
we're talking about domestic. We're talking about domestic law. So in domestic law, the way it's going to work is the federal government will allow states to do certain things independently.
Correct.
However, in the best interest of the, not the country, not the people, in the best interest of the political establishment,
mm-hmm.
they determine. So when okay. you start talking about presidential elections, if
yeah.
you let one state pass something like that and the Supreme Court don't say nothing, now you got to deal with 49 other states who might get a wild hair up their butt and be like, you know what? I don't like this person on the ballot.
Right.
Get them out of here. And
right.
then that's when the Supreme Court comes in. They have a Supreme Court case based on our level of jurisdiction. This cannot happen. This is how we're going to adjudicate this. This is how we're going to handle this. And this is the way it's going to be going forward.
Exactly. And that is my point I was trying to make earlier, is why I believe the Supreme Court is going to come back and say, Colorado, no, we can't let you do it. We can't let you do
it. You can't.
No. But I still say that the Supreme Court did not want this case at all, though. If they could have got around it, they probably would have. But no, they didn't want this because it's a lot. It's a lot to digest, to have to handle. But when you look at the logic behind it, yeah, they can't. They just cannot do it. You know, because that just, as I said, that would throw the whole thing in political system in the chaos, especially because
now,
the president.
I will say this, Mr. Talk.
Okay.
If they do let that happen, Constitution is no longer valid. It's gone.
Yeah.
Without them telling you, what they're doing is that they're showing you. Because like
right.
I said, just to reiterate, the whole point in a democratic system, and it's a system, the whole point in the system that the United States has created is that you want to give sovereignty to states regarding certain things.
Right.
They don't get sovereignty regarding everything. We're not doing that. Because
right.
then you got anarchy. Then you're back to the Civil War, where you got the North, you got the South, and this, even though the Constitution was in effect at that point, the tipping point of the whole Civil War was that it was based on economics, because you had Southerners who were becoming disproportionately wealthy. You had Northerners who were basically immigrants of people from Europe, which had already abandoned slavery at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even exist once this country was created. England got rid of slavery, I think it was like in the early 1700s. I could be wrong. So when the United States was founded in 1776, and they built the country off of agrarian labor, agriculture, where you had a free labor market, and you had no overhead. Your only overhead was feeding them and giving them a place to lay their heads so they can get their ass up and work again. There were no guidelines. You didn't have to give them proper clothes. You didn't have to feed them proper food. You just had to house them, make sure that they could just do what it was that you needed to do. When you no longer needed them, you could discard them. So what happened was the country had to come to a decision. Okay, we can't keep doing this, because it was divided. You had the North, who were the intellectuals. You had the Southerners, who were profiteers.
Right.
You got to get this money. And then they had to fight it out, and then it was like, all right, now we just going to be one nation under a group, as George Clinton said.
All right. All right, I got somebody else in the queue, so stand by. I'm going to leave your mic open.
Sure.
But we're going to bring them in. You know how we do it.
Yeah.
All right, 111, welcome to the show. You got Mr. Talk here. What you got for me? Hello, I'm talking to you. Okay, they may not realize I'm talking to them at the moment. It's all 111s. It may be Joe gone to sleep. You know, he used to do that back in the day.
Hello, sorry about that. I had myself on mute. Hey, Mr. Eric, Mr. Talk, it's been a minute since we had a conversation, you know.
What's going on, Sarge? How are you?
It's all good, man. I am enjoying immensely these numerous consecutive clown shows that exist in one jurisdiction to another. It is horrifying and at the same time immensely entertaining. So I'm truly enjoying myself. But look, let me deal with the layup first, the real easy one, this issue of whether or not Trump should be on the ballot. Now, so the problem for him and his enemies is they don't read far enough. They only read into a constitutional provision that which seems to buttress their case. And then they stop reading. Now, if you keep reading Article 14, it says in Article 5 of Article 14, which apparently they decided to either not read or to simply ignore, it says the Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. And lo and behold, that's exactly what the Congress did. They passed an insurrection law, and in that insurrection law they deemed how it is to be determined by Congress who has engaged in an insurrection and what the penalty for having been convicted of having done so is. So it's all there, right there in the Constitution, which tells you why a rogue Secretary of State in Maine or a dupless Supreme Court in Colorado has no jurisdiction to do what they did. Now, when it comes to self-executing provisions of the Constitution, like you must be 35 years of age at the moment you take the oath of office, you can't be 34 years and 364 days. You have to be 35 years of age or more the moment you take the oath of office. Now, they can enforce that, because the Constitution says that's what you have to be. They can enforce whether or not out of your 35 years or more of life, you have been resident in one or more of the states of the Union for 14 years. That's self-enforcing, because it's clearly laid out there in the Constitution. voila, that's it. Oh, but that natural born sin, so ever since Obama, that's been flown out the window, so I guess that don't count no more. And with Kamala Harris, it doubly don't count no more. But you get my drift. If it's in the Constitution, and, you know, and it's, that would be self-executing if it's clearly stated. But it says by appropriate legislation, Congress enforces provisions of this article, which means they could change the law anytime they want. They can make it a civil offense if Congress would choose to do so. Not that they would, but they could. So,
well,
so you have to go back to Congress, see what Congress says, determines whether or not you've engaged in an insurrection and whether or not you'd be convicted of it.
Get off your soapbox, Sarge. The Supreme Court.
Wait, the other generals want a soapbox. Why are you saying anything about that? Okay, different rules, Sarge.
Wait, I get it.
Okay, it's fine.
You do not get it. Hold on. All right? Hold on. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. Well, maybe the part about Obama, but that's a whole different issue.
Yeah, I know. You're never going to agree on that one. But, you know, but nonetheless, Article 2 says you must be a natural born citizen.
Listen.
That's it, clearly.
Everything you have said relating to what we're talking about, the state, you know, keeping someone off the ballot, is a point that was made during the hearings. The Supreme Court, some of the justices made those same points. The what you just said, almost verbatim, they made that same point. Now, the only problem I would have is if we rely on Congress right now to make anything, it's not going to happen. Okay?
Congress made the law an insurrection in 1877. It's been around since then. We're not talking about the current Congress. That law in 1877, the Insurrection Act, is still on the books.
But why not? Why can't the current Congress make an amendment to that?
What is required for an amendment? There's only two ways to amend the Constitution constitutionally. Number one, you have to go through the Article 5 amendment process by either states put together enough delegates to force Congress to call for a convention of states to either completely rewrite the Constitution or amend it, or you go through the normal amendatory process, which enables it to be amended 27 times, in which Congress, two-thirds of Congress, vote on an amendment to be sent to each one of the states, of which three-fourths of the existing states of the Union have to ratify it, and voila, it becomes an amendment. So that's going to take a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. So, back to what we were saying, the Supreme Court, there's no way they can allow Colorado to do this. They really can't. You know, put it in a nutshell, they can't do it.
And I would say that for anybody, any candidate that I hated. If I hated their guts, if I loathed them, if I wanted to see a pox upon them, I would say the same thing about it. It's the Constitution. It's not my personal feelings about them or anything else, but I think they're a threat to democracy or whatever. What the Constitution says is allowed. And that's. I wish we could have a little bit more constitutionality first, and then we can inject our little personal dislikes into it afterwards. Now,
Can I interject just for a moment? And Sarge, it's always good to hear you. And for those that were listening, Sarge is the premier historian. I'm going to give him his flowers because Sarge will hit you with the Constitution. He going to hit you with articles, subparagraphs on the articles.
Yes.
He's going to do all that.
He's going to do
now,
it all.
Sarge, it sounded like you were congruent with what I was saying and meaning.
Well, absolutely. You're good on.
So with that being said, can you talk to the listening audience who is not as well versed constitutionally as you and just kind of put it in layman's terms, explaining why the state of Colorado can't keep a presidential candidate or a presidential elect off the ballot. Just keep it in simple terms.
It's really simple. I think about it as simply as I could possibly put it. I one I haven't spoke to yet, but I'd be happy to speak to it now. From the clear, plain text of the language, Congress, when this was ratified by the states of the union, 28 states of the union at the time, because there was only 36 states in the union at the time was ratified, the 14th Amendment in 1868. The plain text of the amendment does not even apply to the President of the United States. He is not simply a civil officer of the United States or an officer of the United States. He is the executive branch of the federal government of the United States in his person. Everyone who works in that branch derives their authority from the President, everybody, through the Constitution. So he's not just an officer of the United States. Otherwise, they would have put him at the first office before senator. They go to the amendment says senator, then it says member of the House of Representatives. But they don't say president or vice president. Why is that? Because they didn't mean it to apply to them. It's just that simple. It doesn't apply to the president. But, you know, when you want to twist the Constitution and make it come out the way you want to do it, you just kind of ignore those things. So he says insurrection, and we have deemed that he engaged in an insurrection, despite the fact that he was acquitted of incitement to insurrection by the Senate of the United States in the impeachment trial. Remember the second phony impeachment? He got acquitted. There's going to be at least 7-2 decision. The throw these chuckleheads little temper tantrum out.
And sorry, isn't it by law if there's insurrection, you can shoot on sight? Is that real or no?
No. Whenever deadly force is called for, whatever the Constitution rules of engagement allow, that's allowed. Shooting on sight would probably be not one of them, unless you sight someone planting a bomb or emplacing a heavy machine gun to start firing on you.
Okay,
I'm
the
just
reason
saying
why
the
I
rules
I
of deadly you. Force have to be applied uh-huh. legally and constitutionally. It's simply
okay.
The shooting at someone is an exercise in the use of deadly force. So you
okay.
have to be complying with the law. The Supreme Court decisions probably Tennessee versus Garner. Although that really mainly applies to state and local agencies, but it's been extrapolated to apply to the federal government, too. So, the rules of engagement would insist that, you know, whatever the normal provisions are for applying deadly force, if those criteria are met, then yes, you can shoot on sight if that criteria
okay.
is met.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And the only reason why I asked that question, Mr. Talk, not to cut you
uh-huh.
off, is in the event that a group of people like militia didn't agree with what Sarge has stated legally cannot be done, where they want to just take somebody off the ballot. They decide to rush the Capitol and do something crazy. That's the only reason why I brought that up. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, since no one has been convicted of insurrection out of everybody arrested for January 6th, not one person has either been charged with or convicted of insurrection. I think it's simply incorrect to call them insurrectionists anyway. And a Second Amendment militia, that is in the truest sense a Second Amendment militia, and whenever I say this to people, they get wrapped around the axle, even those who kind of agree with me on the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is absolute, and I do believe it is absolute. The right to keep and bear arms is not conditioned upon any other premise. It is an independent right that stands by itself. But when you get to the last part of the phrasing, that is necessary to the security of a free state, in that sense, your right to keep and bear arms being purposed to your membership in a militia, that now means you must be answerable to a governor, a governor's authority. That is a Second Amendment militia person.
Uh-huh.
So, with that
if you're acting under the authority of the governor and you're acting lawfully under his command as commander-in-chief, as long as you're acting within the rules of engagement of your state militia with regard to whatever mission your governor has assigned you to, then you cannot be guilty of a crime. You may be taken as a prisoner, you know, because you're engaging a combat against another opposing force, but you can't be considered a criminal.
Well, okay. I see what you're saying, Sarge, but then again, that's why you have the National Guard, State National Guard, right?
No, the National Guard is part of the organized militia of the state. It is a reserve component of the United States Army. It is subject to federalization and being taken away from the state control of the governor. I was in the National Guard for 17 years. I studied this provision thoroughly. So the unorganized militia, however, is the rest of the people that are governed by the militia acts of the various states, and those militia acts of the various states define who is in the militia in their states. And they cannot be federalized other than a call-up by Congress, not by the president. Congress calls them into federal service, and once they are taken into federal service, then the president is their commander-in-chief. But the unorganized militia is going to control of the militia acts of the various states.
Okay. You've said all that, Sarge, and you've said a whole lot of it. But here's my question. If that is the militia, as you say, is under, you know, the call of the governor themselves, right? Any so-called militia that acts outside the governor, they're violating the law then, correct?
No, not necessarily. They could be, but not automatically, simply because they call themselves a militia and they're keeping their bearing arms and they're conducting some sort of organized drill. No, they're not necessarily violating any law. Now, if they take it upon themselves to just go out and set up roadblocks on their own driving under the influence roadblocks, then, yeah, they're violating the law without authority from the governor.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to clear up. That's all. Yeah,
but make no mistake about it. Now, they always retain the right of citizen's arrest. Every citizen does. So if they're out there training in the militia and they're associating with each other as their First Amendment right allows them to do, and as their Second Amendment right allows them to bear arms, and they're doing some sort of training to be prepared to participate in militia activities, and they see something criminal, they retain the right of citizen's arrest as every other citizen in the state does. And if they meet the criteria of citizen's arrest, they have not broken any law.
Okay. All right.
Now, I look at this thing about Fannie Willis. That's what's really intriguing me.
Okay, what's so intriguing about the Fannie Willis case?
Everything. You got politics and solutions wrapped up all in one. What isn't entertaining about it? But there are greater political issues at stake, and that's the ones I'd like to address. Because a lot of people like to make it down like, oh, it's just her private life. Well, they're worried about a private life. Well, ain't nobody's business but this. Okay, please. Spare me. If she was just involved with him and he was still just a divorce and slip and fall lawyer, no one would be concerned about it. The implications are prosecutorial misconduct and malfeasance and misuse of government funds. That's the issue. And what was really eye-opening for me was when she said under oath on the witness stand yesterday, and I was astounded to hear her say this, she said she was not aware that Fulton County Prosecutorial Ethics Code required her to disclose gifts of over $100 in value. She's supposed to be a professional district attorney. Now, I'm starting to wonder if she's even familiar with the state code of ethics for prosecutors in the state of Georgia. But remember, she said this under oath. She was unaware of her ethical obligations under the code of Fulton County. Now, tell me something. Do you think for one microsecond she would accept the plea of ignorance of the law of any defendant she's hauled in a court and convicted? She would tell him, no, innocence, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And here she is supposed to be a professional prosecutor. I was astounded when I heard her say that.
Okay.
I never thought she'd let something like that slip.
Okay. So besides that point, what else is there?
Well, there's a lot more to this. First of all, I mean, let's look at her indictment. I have read it in detail. So I'm not acquainted with. She is required to prove in court. And she's got to prove every element of the offense of every single count on the indictment. And her core charge against Donald Trump is this.
Okay.
This is her core charge against Donald Trump.
Sarge, let's clarify something first. You're talking about the indictment against Trump, right?
Yes, the one that Fannie Willis got from the grand jury in Georgia against Donald Trump to let this prosecution go through.
But what we're talking right now, okay, we're not even
missing. No, I'm getting to that. I'm gonna bring it all back in.
And with
what you were saying yesterday about the threat to democracy. Remember she said that? I'm not on trial here. He is. He's a threat to democracy. That's what she said. So, now in her indictment, she has accused Donald Trump of engaging in a RICO conspiracy, meaning a racketeering influence corrupt organization offense. She said he's guilty of RICO. Why is he guilty of RICO? Because he conspired with others to commit a fraud upon the people of Georgia. And what was that fraud? That fraud was that he didn't believe that he had actually lost the election, and cynically, he tried to convince the people of Georgia and the Secretary of State that there was actually election fraud when he didn't believe it himself. Now, that is literally the core of her indictment, the most important single component of it. So she's got to prove that in court that he did not believe that the election was stolen. So that means, guess what he gets to do? He gets to introduce in the court all the evidence that would make him believe that it was, whether he's right or wrong. And if that information is corroboratively objective, she ain't got no case.
Yeah, but there's that phone call.
In that phone call, which I've read about 10 times now, looking for errors in it, I've read it 10 times. And in the phone call, he lays out with great specificity the things that he believes were irregular and fraudulent about the election before he asked him to find 11,779 votes. And by the way, at least four counties in Georgia, I believe Cobb, Cherokee, Henry, and Clay counties, and there's a couple others, have made audits that show the large voting irregularities that could have been outcome determinative for the results of the election. So even if he's incorrect that it didn't cause the election, he certainly had every right to question it and bring it to Ratzenberger's attention.
Okay. And you don't think the state of Georgia or those counties, you know, did their own audit to find out?
That's what I'm saying. The counties I mentioned did their own audit and found their own irregularities. And Ratzenberger and the Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, had investigators from the Secretary of State look into some of the audits that Ratzenberger did, and they found that they changed the audit totals that Ratzenberger said he did three times. The whole thing is suspect. He could be wrong about the election and be correct in his belief that he had the right to question it and bring it to Ratzenberger's attention.
Okay. All right. And I'm just going to leave it right there because I already see the rabbit hole we can get into on this thing, and I'm not even going there. I'm staying out of rabbit holes now. But okay, I see your point, man. I do see your point. N2K, anything you want to add into it? We're running out of little time here. N2K, are you there? Okay. All right. Sarge, you always bring an interesting point of view. Of course, we usually can figure out what side it's going to be on, which is good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing because, you know, you bring out some ideas, some thoughts that, yeah, maybe we didn't think of, or, you know, that's interesting. Make you go back and research a little bit deeper. But, yeah, but I don't know, Sarge. I don't know. I'm just looking at Fannie Willis right now to see in the position she's put herself in or they forced her into. And, yeah, she made some statements yesterday. It was kind of questionable. But I don't know, Sarge. I, you know me. I sit and look at the whole picture. I'm not on one side of the fence or the other. So we're going to see.
Well, Eric, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't never heard of no prosecutor criminalizing someone relying upon advice of counsel when constitutional issues have always been argued before appeals courts. And all of a sudden she says that for him to rely on the advice of counsel in this matter, particularly those people who put up the alternate slate of electors, not a fake slate of electors because it was done in 1876 during the Tilden Hayes election. It was done in 1960. In 1960, the state of Hawaii reversed its original electoral certification that they sent to Congress because there was a dispute about it. They had an alternate slate of electors, and the alternate slate of electors was seated and certified by Congress. Nobody went to jail.
Well, Sarge, come on now. Sarge, come on. Let's be real about that now. You just can't replace a whole group of electors. Like, come on now.
Are you familiar with the man of the Electoral Count Act of 1877 and the 12th Amendment in which the electoral votes are counted? It calls for Congress to certify them. Certify means to verify officially. And that's where those votes were changed. There was a challenge to them. What the alternate slate of electors wanted to do was preserve the right of Trump to challenge the slate of electors that had been certified. It has been changed before in the history of the United States, and no one went to jail.
Sarge, listen.
I'm not making this up. It's history.
Listen, Sarge. Okay, I hear what you're saying. However, all this was challenged in courts across the nation.
No, it wasn't. They were going to do it on January 6th. That's where they were. You got to remember, there were 148 members of Congress in the House and in the Senate who had announced their intention to challenge the certification of the election on the Electoral Count of 1877. They announced their intention to challenge it before that date of January 6th.
I'm running out of time, okay? But I'm just going to ask this one question. N2K, are you back yet? I'm gonna ask you this question right here. Why didn't they do it? Even after the January 6th?
Because of January 6th and the riot. When they reconvened after the order was restored, Nancy Pelosi then used the occasion to invoke the emergency rules of the House, which would set aside any parliamentary motion to objections to the election and just have an up or down vote on whether or not the election should be certified. At that point, many of the congressmen were intimidated into not objecting to the election despite their previously intention to object to the certification of the election. That's why I believe that Trump had nothing to do with it. People either on the behest of the Democratic Party or at their engineered the riot to prevent the objection to the count.
Okay. All right. So we went, okay, now it's because of the Democratic Party. See, that's why I say we need to get rid of all this nonsense. But okay. All right. And I don't think
but it happened that way. You can't argue that it happened that way. Now, you can take exception with my theory, although I'll see you on that one, but you cannot argue that's what happened as a result of that. Why would Trump engineer a riot that would preserve his right and would give him automatic standing with the Supreme Court to challenge the results of the election? Just even if the vote to decertify some of the states had failed, that failure would have given him an automatic right to have standing to go to the Supreme Court to challenge the election. And setting that aside with that parliamentary...
Okay, I just got the mute, Sarge, y'all. I'm sorry. I can't take this right now. I just can't take it no more. I can't. I love Sarge to death, but, yeah, I can't take that no more. Anyway, y'all, we running out of time here. N2K, are you back yet? I guess he stepped away. Hey, we only got about a minute left, and I'm not doing any overtime my first day back, and I got enough to deal with already. But I want to thank Sarge and N2K for stopping by. Serpents in the chat room, thank you. I appreciate the conversation we were having, man. You did say some funny stuff. But, yeah, man, we gonna get together and do this again on the 2nd of March. Yeah, because I'll be traveling until then. So the 2nd of March, I'll be back on a Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Central. Hey, I want to say thank y'all for hanging out with me today. It's been fun. I'm back, and we're going to rock and roll. Sarge, I hate to cut you off, but, hey, we got to go, man. All right, y'all have a good one. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart, but make sure you forgive yourself first. Biggest best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. You laugh at yourself. Sarge, laugh at yourself. everything is groovy. All right, until the 2nd, man, y'all have a good one, and I'm sure we plenty of some other stuff going on. All right. Later. We'll be right back.
on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.